Yeah, we could theoretically walk out amongst them.
Let's say, Jeff, let's have a walk and talk.
Yeah, okay. All right.
We'll walk through to the store. Hey, what's up, man?
Do that for the full hour, that'd be good.
Just while you're talking?
Yeah. Interpretive dance.
You're welcome. Hey, Jeff, I got second place in a dance contest in life. How's it going?
His payroll got moved to the restroom.
Welcome, everyone. I said, welcome, everyone. I came here today to do two things. Learn about an acquaintance of mine, Jeffrey Gerstmann, and to make you fuckers happy.
Yeah!
Hopefully, at least get one of those two mailed. So, you guys know Jeff? Obviously, giant Hawks fans. So, you know, we're going to learn what we
What the hell?
Well, it's going to be fun. Everyone, welcome. My best friend in the whole world.
Not really.
Jeff Gerstmann.
Carnival entrance, and then we walked out of there, and then there was John Cena and Undertaker wax statues and Alamo right across the street.
It's a different Alamo.
Like a rent-a-car place?
So, no, unfortunately. So this is bad, so I wrote a lot of questions, but they're all Alamo related. So that's out the window.
I mean, I've got my phone, I can look up Alamo stuff real quick.
That one questioning is out the window. Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's been a long show.
You haven't done anything, though. You literally you did your panel.
Yep, we did the panel.
You did the 404 panel.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I think you slept a lot, as far as I know, aside from the rest of it.
There's been some drinking in there, too.
Mixed in.
So,
we're going to take some Q&A with people, regular human beings, at the end of this. But I do actually have some good questions, some bangers.
All right, some bangers. I love bangers. Everyone knows that.
What I want to know, Jeff, so you want to start with something lighter or you want to get into it?
You know, you're the interviewer. I don't want to coach you on your technique. Okay. This is your show.
All right, we're just going to get right into the meat of it. What are your thoughts on Pee Wee's Big Adventure?
Well, I like it. I like it. It's a great movie. But it's not something I go out of my way to watch, kind of, ever. Like, I saw it a handful of times and own it, but, you know, it's not something I live. It's something I do.
Do you remember the Alamo bit in Pee Wee's Big Adventure?
Yes.
I'm trying to salvage my Alamo questions.
I do, yes. I do remember that, yes.
So is there a basement in the Alamo?
I've been led to believe that no, there's not.
Did it hurt when you found out there was not, in fact?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Oh, yeah. All right.
It's been through so much.
So, Giant Bomb, 7 years now?
Yeah, 2007 is when we kind of first started planting seeds for it.
When did you know, you wanted to do it differently? Like, you didn't want to do the regular, like, hey, we're going to write reviews and post blogs and news and all this. Like, when did you know it was going to be more about, like, engagement with the person that was on the site and less about, like, just normal kind of games journalism stuff?
It's something that, you know, we kind of talked about, and it was something that, you know, it was the fun. Basically, we built the site around doing the fun things we did at our previous job, and none of the bullshit that was most of our previous job.
You guys did events like on the spots and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, kind of live shows and podcasts and that sort of stuff. And I tried to approach it from, originally the idea was like, you know, I want to meet the personalities that are out there working in the industry and stuff like that. And, you know, we've stumbled into some of that. But to be honest, like, most of the people you want to talk to are so protected behind layers and layers of PR people that actually getting candid conversations with some of those people, it's difficult. So, you know, the focus has been on us and our interaction with people. And kind
like,
of the,
when
the
did
culture.
You know you wanted to be there? Did you know from day one you wanted to be there?
Yeah, pretty much. It was basically like from day one when we started talking about the content, it was two things. It was, we're building a wiki, and then what is the content on this site? And I was like, well, I want to keep doing a podcast. I'm like, okay, well, let's build it around that.
What was the inspiration for the wiki? Like, why day one is a wiki? Like, why that?
Well, the wiki, so Comic Vine existed before Giant Bomb did, and the guys that I decided to partner up with, like when I didn't have a job there for a while, a lot of people kind of came out of the woodwork. Penny Arcade, actually, we briefly talked, but it was so late in the process that I was already kind of committed, which, you know, I like the way we went with it anyway. And so there were a few people out there that I was talking to about different kinds of jobs, and a lot of them were like, we need to start a hardcore news site.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can do that, but fuck, I don't want to fucking do that.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's way less work to record a podcast and just like, I don't know, turn these cameras on, figure it out. So we kind of went that route with it. The wiki was already in place with Comic-Con, so we were using the same tech that was powering Comic-Con, ported to Django from whatever they were using, PHP or whatever they were using before, and got up and running really quickly that way. And I really wanted to do a wiki because I thought that was super fascinating. It's one of those things like, you know, there's just that encyclopedia of game data out there that gets lost to time. So it was like my own little way of just like, well, maybe we can kind of preserve some stuff and it'll be really cool, like some of the things we can call out with a wiki. So that was kind of one of the really cool opportunities. And originally the homepage of the site was super wiki focused. It was basically a search bar. And then the editorial content was kind of below it. It was like, I don't know, we review Burnout Paradise and a handful of other games here and there. And you know, over time, the stuff that was popular was clearly like what we were doing. So we just kind of started shifting the homepage in that direction.
What happened to the Quest system?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Because like, I actually would, I'm a dummy that would do those things.
Yeah, no, totally. The page views we could milk out of that is fantastic stuff.
So you say that like if you're being sarcastic, but I bet it was pretty insidious and worked pretty good.
Yeah, it's a page turner.
So why where?
So the when we were purchased by CBS, CBS, the Tiffany Network, right? Is that
Mark Harmon here right now?
Yeah, so he's filming it in the back.
Oh,
yeah. When we were picked up by CBS, the old company Whiskey Media split in two directions. The guys from Tested went off in one direction, and they took Anime Vice and Scream with them. But none of the people from Scream, right? Whatever. And there were no people on Anime Vice at the time. We, Comic Vine and Giant Bomb went to CBS. The company that bought the other end of things, they were really interested in the tech. So they bought the tech that powered the site. So we came over with people and content, but no rights to our own tech. So very quickly, the engineering team had to get together and be like, all right, we need to port this entire like mess of data and site content and all sorts of stuff to an entirely new setup. Go build this site from scratch again. And also, you can't look at any of the old code because you don't own it. It's total white room. Like, no, you know, the code exists on one laptop that only one person can open up and glance at occasionally to fix things with the old site.
Got it.
So yeah, like we had to come in and like the engineering team had to just pull out this gargantuan effort to get the site up and running as quickly as possible. So features got cut.
Okay. Is it ever coming back?
I want it to. It's something we still talk about. Like quests and like achievement tracking are kind of the two things that are actually kind of difficult to build. Though I guess achievements have gotten easier, achievements and trophies, because people have just cobbled together weird third-party APIs for that stuff. And you can kind of get at that data in a way you used to have to be way shadier about. I want to do it.
So that's the website part. You also mentioned the video part. Like, I was about to ask about Vinny. But actually, let's just bring Vinny on right now. Yeah. Vinny Carrell. Yeah. I'm just fucking with you. So that's pretty good. I can't throw it. That felt pretty good.
Really winning over this crowd. Really winning over this crowd. That's
good. How'd you get hooked up with Vinny?
How do we get hooked up with Vinny?
Yeah, okay.
Vinny is actually the person on staff that I probably knew the least, like, coming into anything. He started at GameSpot, I want to say, like, 2005, 2006, just kind of came on and took over a lot of the video duties.
It's like, I only knew him, I never knew him from the GameSpot time.
Right.
I knew him from the Giant Bomb stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because the video people there were very much behind the scenes, with, like, the exception of Rich Gallo. And so when Rich took off, Benny took over a lot of stuff. Rich Gallup of 38 Studios fame. He's Kurt Schilling's, like, weed guy.
Oh.
He's the guy that gets busted for
sure.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Like Spliff Star and Busta Rhymes. Anyway. So he kind of took over some of the stuff, the actual video editing work that Rich Gallup was doing. Whereas I took over kind of the hosting type stuff that Rich was doing when he split. And
so was it hard to get Vinny to jump over with you guys when you knew you wanted to do it? No.
No. I mean, to be honest, like after the events of late 2007, the morale at GameSpot was pretty low.
So it's kind of just like picking whoever you wanted and just like go.
No, I didn't poach anybody. What are you talking about? No, we,
they all quit, they all quit, and then
everyone quit, and like, then I said, well, these free agents are available, but if we introduce some of these people, maybe that would be interesting, I don't know.
I think now that they own you again, they can't really
I think so. So, but I mean, like, you know, that's a very difficult thing to act, to say, hey, I can't even give you a job offer, but if you weren't working where you were working, maybe we could chat for this much money. Because the head of our company was...
Hypothetically.
The head of our company was the founder of the company that had just fired me. So there's just, like, political weird shit all over it.
Yeah.
So, you know... he was the founder of CNET.
Okay.
Was the founder of Whiskey Media, and so he, you know, he kind of came in, he had the money to let us, you know, fail for a while and figure our shit out.
Okay.
But he was also still a really big shareholder. So until the CBS buyout happened, like, everything was super weird.
Yeah.
Because we were literally just building what he had built before in Sausalito at San Francisco. Yeah. So
when you knew, like, what was the, once you knew in your head, like, okay, I actually do want to sell Giant Bomb, but give it back and get back, like, what was the first thought you had once you realized, okay, I want to do this? What were, like, the things you had to go through in your head?
Well, so we had been looking for investors for a while. You know, there were a lot of different companies that were really interested, but no one wanted to be the first one through the door to set the valuation and actually, like, pony up the money.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted to be the second investor in the company, I guess. So they spent some time doing that, and, you know, we didn't really have a dedicated ad person. We did for a while. We had one person who, I guess, he'd come out of Game Trailers, and he did some stuff, but... you know, we didn't launch with the subscription stuff. We originally were just doing ads, and the ads weren't coming. And so it was one of those things where we were growing and growing and growing, but that also meant the expenses were growing and growing, and the business end of it wasn't shored up in a way that it needed to be. The premium subscriptions went a long way. Without that stuff, we wouldn't be here. Without you know, people signing up and subscribing, like, we would be gone. Even, that's true today. Even CBS, like, our value is that we're able to do this thing that, like, people that do traditional internet business look at and just go, like, what the fuck did you guys build? How does this even work? Like, no one understands why this works, which makes it really hard to explain to people, but I've gotten a little bit better at it.
I do remember when you guys announced the subscription thing the first time. That was pretty, there was a lot of backlash.
Yeah.
Did that scare the crap out of you, or were you still convinced it was the right thing to do?
It was the right thing to do. It was definitely the right thing to do. Something that we felt good about. Like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, well, you know, like, we want to do more. This is going to be the path for us to do more if people want to do that. And if they don't sign up, fine. It wasn't a situation where I was like, well, fuck anybody if they didn't sign up. Like, well, you know, let's see how it does, and we'll be serious about it. We felt good about the content, and we felt good about what we wanted to do with a subscription program. So we felt like it was like, okay, this would be, like, a decent value for people. Like, you know, we think this would be a cool thing.
Cool. In the history of Giant Bomb, like, you know, from its inception, like, hey, I think it's going to be this all the way to now. Like, what's the one thing you were most wrong about? Like, about vision of the company or something you thought would be cool or wasn't or whatever?
We went through a few different phases where, like, we started out doing a lot of video, and then there was a moment where I was like, you know, this thing needs to grow a little faster. So the guy who was, like, the biz dev guy, you know, he didn't necessarily come down and go, you got to do this. But he would say, you know, he'd say a lot of, like, well, none of the data would suggest that maybe we should look into this, and kind of put it to me. And so for a while there, all of us were writing news for a brief period of time.
Okay.
Even Vinny. We were just like, let's try to get 10 stories up on the side of the day and see if that moves the needle, like, what that does. Kind of an experiment. So...
He's actually written some reviews and stuff, too.
Yeah. There are definitely, there are just games that he's just, like, the best person for. So in situations where he has time, I love to get him to review some stuff from there. But yeah, we did that for a while. And like, I kind of knew, like, this is not going to be a differentiator. Like, the whole thing is, like, we're different from the other things that are out there. So, like, chasing, you know, at that time, you know, chasing kind of what, you know, everyone else was doing, I knew that wasn't going to get us very far. But we did it for a while, and I'm glad that we did it, because it was one of those things where you come out of it knowing more about how that stuff works, and more about kind of just like, well, here's what that does to the numbers end of things, here's what that does to your time to produce longer video and stuff. But the thing is, you know, like we started out of the gate, like, out of necessity, just recording longer video.
Yeah.
And people, I mean,
I remember saying the quick looks, it was really great because you didn't have to edit them.
Right.
It was just this long thing. You get way to put a lot of content up with little effort.
Exactly. Yeah. That was, you know, because we were four people in a basement.
And now that's the entire internet is quick looks.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there were people doing, like, you know, Let's Plays before that on the internet, but like editorial sites, you know, I remember, like, you know, people were in fear of the idea of putting up longer video because they thought, well, we're going to get sued or they're going to be mad and we're not going to send us the game. And I was like, fuck it, whatever. Like, let's just do this. And, you know, like, we're not going to go ask for permission to, like, hey, can we?
Yeah.
Because if you go to someone and say, can we put up an hour of your game? They're going to go, fuck no, especially because no one else was doing that.
Yeah.
So we just did it. And then, you know, it did really, really well for
did you ever have any issues with, like, when you first started doing it, before it kind of became like, oh, people actually love this, it's a great way to get our stuff out to people. Did you ever have a problem with a publisher coming at you guys and being like, dude, that's not cool, you gotta take it down or whatever?
Rockstar served us with a cease and desist.
For which one? Which
game? Lost and Damned.
Really?
Yeah. Because they're Rockstar, that's what they do.
Yeah. Is that the only time, like, everyone else, is there any, like maybe less dramatic things where it's like they pull you aside of the show and like, dude, I really appreciate it? Yeah.
No, and we try to be judicious about it. Like, we're not, you know, generally speaking, we're not playing 100% of the game. Especially something that, like, just had just come out. Like, we're not doing that. It's not about, like, here are the solutions to all these puzzles. Or, you know, there are sites out there that, like, day one when The Last of Us was out, was like, here's every cutscene from The Last of Us uploaded to YouTube to juice our YouTube numbers. Like, that's fucked. We're not doing that. We're trying to look at the game and talk enough to where it is an editorial product. You know, no, I've never really had any situation like that. And you know, that's why oftentimes we wait until after the game is out. Sometimes, you know, companies like Nintendo will send out a game and they'll be like, you can take 10 screenshots and you can put up 3 minutes of video, but it must be chopped into 1 minute chunks. And it's just like, okay, well, we're not going to do shit with that until the game is out, and then I can just do whatever I want to do. And it's been fine. I've had a couple people, like, not that many, because after everything kind of went down, like, the number of people that were willing to call me up and complain about a review score were pretty low. but there were definitely a couple people that were like, we think Soul Calibur should have gotten a 4. And I was like, I don't.
Yeah. So was it more frequent back then than it is now, that kind of thing? Like, where you get more, like, they say negative interactions with the game creator, developer, publisher, whatever?
Oh, yeah, totally. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, like, yes.
Is that unique to you, or is that just the trend of the industry?
I think that was always the entire industry. Okay. You know, I think, you know, and it was one of the things where, you know, they would try to press in as many different ways as possible, where it's like, oh, well, we're not going to give you preview, you know, access to our next game, you know, because you gave us this score. And you have to be ready to just be like, okay, you know? Because what are you going to say? Like, oh, no, go change it.
Yeah.
You hear all these stories back in the day of, like, really small sites, and it reminds me of some of the YouTube stuff that you hear about going on now. I'm not saying a blanket statement for everyone that's on YouTube, but you would hear individual, like, fan sites run by one or two people where they would cave and change a score because they were reliant on a free product. And so if someone said, well, I'm going to make sure all my PR buddies know not to send you anything, which is not a real thing. And people would change their scores. That's why Metacritic had to institute a policy where the first score of a site gives something sticks no matter what.
Thanks, Polygon.
because sites were like changing scores and getting free graphics cards and all this. It was just nightmare stuff you hear about out there.
So if it, Giant Bomb and Kablooey, CBS fires all you guys tomorrow, what do you do? Make another site, you do something
else. Get drunk!
Yeah, well, once you wake up from that, what do you
do? Yeah, I mean, our podcast is very successful, and I really enjoy podcasting, and I really believe in podcasting.
What do you mean you believe in podcasting? What does that mean? It's like,
it means that I've spent a lot of years trying to tell ad people that, like, podcasts matter and they should sell ads on it. They're like, nah, banner ads! And now there are networks of podcasts and you know, ad firms that specialize in podcasts, and we've been able to do a deal with one of those companies, and it's like, it's finally happened.
Yeah.
The thing that, like, I've been telling people, like, this is happening and it matters and you need to pay attention to it, finally happened. So now I get to kind of, like, walk around and go, yeah, I told you.
Yeah, like, I remember when the one-up show went away, just sell ads, but they do this, and there are a lot of well-reasoned arguments like, well, since there's no way to know if someone even listened to the whole thing, or how much does it take to download it, now that there's no actual numbers, but so those problems, did they ever exist, or did they evaporate?
They existed in a sense where, like, you know, the people that were used to buying ads on the internet, like, the internet is very good at tracking all of that stuff. Like, here's how many people saw your ad, here's how many people clicked on it, here's how many interactions you got, impressions, whatever. And podcast ads are not that far off from radio, where you can go like, we've got a number. I can't tell you if there were two people in the room when the podcast was played. I can't even tell them if they listened to the podcast. But I can tell you that this many hundreds of thousands of people downloaded it. And so what happened is I think that the people selling podcast ads, and also the companies that advertise on podcasts, understand that. And so that's why you see, and radio does this now too, where like you see they're giving out like a custom 800 number that's specific for that ad campaign, or some kind of way to track it that way. It's why you have like promo code Bombcast and promo code Mark Maron's face, like whatever it is. Because then they can use that to get, even though it is behind a paywall, are like better than a lot of like free podcasts. So at some point you're like, well, if we made this free, it would grow exponentially, and then we could put ads on it, and do an ad-free version for premium people still, obviously, and then try to replace that with new and different premium content and stuff like that. So we think about it that way. Like, you know, if we were to actually dedicate ourselves to, like, well, we're going to do a wrestling podcast every 2 weeks, then at some point it's like, well, maybe we should just make that free and you know, put ads on it. Like, that's the talk. So I want to do more podcasts just because I really like it a lot. And
so, like, for the sites that sell ads and stuff, do they take all podcasts you do and lump it together into one number, or is it like the ads? I guess not, because the ads go in.
The numbers are different for every feed, basically. So we probably could lump it together into one big number and go that route, but our main number is really big, so we kind of can afford to experiment with some of the smaller stuff and do different things there.
So I think you know, one thing. I think everyone here enjoys your work, obviously. They wouldn't be here if they didn't, probably. Or they're really sick.
We're going to get that asshole.
Like, how do you spend your time every day? Like, how much of it is meetings? How much of it is business stuff? How much of it is just, like, playing games and, like, coming up with, like, what, like, walk me through a day.
You know, it depends on the day, but there's a lot of, you know.
Well, okay, walk me through a good day, walk me through a bad day.
On a good day, like, we're getting in there and getting down to recording QuickBooks, and then take a break for lunch, and then record some more, and then kind of just, you know, kind of keep looking at the internet in case something happens, you know, and you know, right now we don't have a dedicated news person, so we've kind of distributed some of that a little bit, where we're, you know, it's like, oh, Alex will take a story here, I'll take a story there, that sort of thing. So there's kind of that aspect of it, of just like watching stuff come in and then having to make the call of like, is this something we want to run? Is this newsworthy enough to where we should write about? Does anyone have anything they want to say about this? Or is it just like, hey, this DLC got announced? Like, that's not a story.
Do you think that's not interesting to the, is it because it's not interesting to you to write about that stuff, or do you think people that go to the site don't give a shit?
I think it's one of those things where, like, people who go to the site definitely give a shit, because people are already talking about this stuff on our message boards. Yeah. So for me, like, and it's the approach, so right now we're looking for a news person, but I'm not just going to, like, plug them in and say, write stories. For me, it's about, like, what's the right way to build a news team, a news part of the site that is, like, respectful of people's time. Because you look at a lot of the sites that specialize in news out there, it's just such a fucking constant churn that if you're not glued to it, you're missing things, or, you know, it's like for a very specific type of person.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be the news site that's like, here's the stuff that actually matters. I curate a little bit, and then, you know, still present some of the smaller stories just so people are aware that it happened. But, like, if you think about, you know, like a pre-order bonus or a season pass announcement, that's one sentence.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of sites will write two paragraphs because either their back-end system is such that they have to do that to make the page not look like garbage. Or, you know, they're doing it for SEO reasons or whatever nefarious stuff they're into. I want to be able to present that as one sentence and have that on the page. If people want to comment on it or whatever they can, you know, build a way that makes it so they still get the information without all the bullshit that has to surround it sometimes.
Right. Try to get the conversation started, so to speak.
Yeah, sometimes start the conversation.
Yeah, just have to say,
yeah.
Join the conversation.
Yes, I want people to join the conversation and to like, follow, and subscribe. Straight up just hashtag
styles.
Like,
it doesn't feel, it's not as fun to do that.
It's not. Any kind of.
It's fun.
That is fun. But any kind of two-hand, anytime you're trying to make something with both your hands as like a gang sign, where you're touching the hands to form a shape, like the L.A., like, that's not
racist. Holy shit. I'm sorry I didn't see that earlier. Okay, so that's a good day. What's a bad day that John Bond would play for you?
A bad day is like, you know, 4 meetings and, you know.
What are the meetings about? Like, the reason I'm asking this is because I think, like, a lot of people, like, I see comments on the site a lot of times. It's like, Jeff didn't post anything this week. What the hell's going on? And, like, I know there's reasons for that because I run a business too. It's, I think some insight to that might be helpful.
I mean, you know, like, sometimes I'll have to meet with, you know, like, our marketing team to talk about, like, the next PAX because, like, the, you know, there'll be things like, well, you know, we want to do, at PAX Prime, they built a space that people could go hang out in, and then we did a live show there. So it's stuff like, you know, are we going to do this? Are we going to, you know, for Seattle, are we going to rent a boat and get subscribers on it and drink for 3 hours? It's literally something we're talking about doing. I don't know that it'll actually happen, but that's, like, we want to have a big boat park. So it's stuff like that. It, you know, it's regular check-ins with, you know, because there are a lot of people, like, you know, Giant Bomb's a very small team. But there's just a wide net of people that touch Giant Bomb in different ways, whether it's the engineering team. I know. Sometimes it feels good. Sometimes it's like, stop doing that. And so it'll be like, you know, the design team. Like, if we have to do something special for Game of the Year, like, the design team has to know what kind of page they need to build. The engineering team needs to know what's broken on the site. And, you know, we need to constantly work on priorities for, like, okay, you know, wiki rebuild here, you know, like, the billing rebuild here, like, you know, this sort of stuff. Like, we're, right now, they're implementing, like, a whole new billing backend. Right now, if you have to update your credit card, you have to cancel your subscription and resubscribe.
Sure.
Because the person who built that system is no longer with the company, and no one knows how to work. So they're stripping all that out, replacing it with something else that'll work, and that'll let us build, like, a referral program for, like, hey, if you got a friend to subscribe, so get a free month, or, you know, whatever it ends up being. So it's a lot of stuff like that, of, like, you know, okay, well, what are we doing on the back end? Does that stuff work? Where do we want to go from here on,
like,
that?
To the business people, like you mentioned before, like, it's hard to explain to people, like, why you guys are successful and what makes it, like, aside from that problem, mm-hmm. business people, like, get the game guys, or they get why, like, or is it just, like, you know, moving from hours to being a situation?
No, they're definitely people that understand, like, you know, the engineering team, I think, you know, they understand what we do and why. The design team certainly does. I work with a person directly, and he is kind of the business liaison in a lot of ways, where he can kind of look at the numbers and he can go out and, like, basically, like, I got really bad at, like, our whole first year there was me going to people and saying, no, a boat! And people going, like, what? Fuck you! But he can actually translate no, a boat into, well, we want to activate a space for people to, you know, come and congregate, you know, like, just whatever it needs to be so that people can get their mind wrapped around it and go, oh, a boat. So that's actually been, like, over the last, like, year or so, been the most valuable thing that's happened to us. Like, kind of without that change, we probably wouldn't exist anymore. Because it's just a language barrier of getting our needs met in a group that is rife with other larger sites and all this other stuff in the company. Like, it was very hard to get heard. And now we're being heard, and people understand why. And that's been the biggest change, and now it's like, okay, now let's do it for real.
Yeah, how do you manage quality control of the site? Because, I mean, for written stuff, there's obviously, like, well, Craig's like, oh, your editor looks at it and takes a pass at it. But for video stuff, do you ever just, like, so we record something for an hour, and you look at it, it's like, this just, is it good enough for the site? You just throw it away?
I mean, we're putting up hours of Dan drunk talking to his dad, so. I mean, there's definitely, like, you know, like, I saw the Game of the Year videos before they went up and stuff like that. But, you know, like, the nice thing about, like, we're a small crew of people that trust each other to get the job done. And it's one of those things that, you know, like, stuff that's internal like that, where it's like, you know, like the Game of the Year videos. Like, I know the types of things that Drew makes. I know the types of things that Vinny makes and Jason as well. And so I just trust them to, the relationship between, like, being in front of the camera and being behind the camera, like, is so super important to what we do. Whereas, like, you know, if we were in a situation where, like, a lot of places will just, like, oh, we're coming to town, we're going to hire a cameraman from that town, and they're going to come point camera at us. Like, none of the visual goofs and just weird shit would ever be in any of the videos. They'd all be shot super straightforward. And that would be that. Unless, like, you know, I was there going, like, okay, well, now you need to do this, and then turn it like this, and then point it at the ceiling at the end, because that's how you do it. And so, like, just being comfortable in our shooting situation is how that works. Like, I know they can do good work. I know they have the time to get it done. And so I just kind of trust them implicitly.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it comes to text and stuff like that, yeah, we send around reviews. We don't really send around news articles and stuff, so the typos work their way over there occasionally. A lot. And, but the reviews process, like, we all look at it and go, like, does this score line up? Does this make sense? And kind of check off on that.
Let's talk about the your like creative stuff before you were writing game stuff. So you did that public access TV show.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard, like, I don't know, like, I've heard you say it, but I don't know anything about it. What was it about? What did you guys do? Like,
We were bored kids with a video camera. And I watched a lot of, there was a show on Comedy Central called Access America. And it was literally a show putting a spotlight on public access shows around the nation.
Sure.
And it was terrible. This was also the time when Wayne's World was very big, and Kids in the Hall was very big.
Yeah.
So, with all that lined up and me being 16...
Quick digression. Favorite Kids in the Hall sketch?
Gavin. Because, like, if my head were real, how much would it be worth?
Yeah. I don't think I'll sell. That's good.
So all those things that came together in a way were like, you know, like, I wanted to do public access television. And we didn't want to write anything, we didn't want to do anything. It was terrible. Like, a lot of it was us literally filming ourselves driving around, yelling things at people on the street. It's a bad show. It was a bad show. But, you know, it got me comfortable with people saying a lot of really negative things about me, because we had a phone number at the end of the show. It's why I could read YouTube comments now, because that shit is so much worse. And I was 16, and it was just like, they'd be like, oh, God, I'm big, but I can only, the oxy only takes away so much.
Acne. It's shockingly disappointing how bad acne medicine is. Yeah. Like, you think it's 2015, right?
Yeah.
Like, zits should not exist anymore.
Nope.
This is, like, I remember thinking, like, I was in high school, and I'm like, man, I can't wait until I get older, and I don't understand. I thought, like, once you get to, like, a certain age, zits just disappear.
I want one right now.
And my friend's like, dude, what are you talking about? I'm like, you know, like, you said, yeah, zits like 22, right? And you're like, what are you talking about? I've cried for like a week straight.
I mean, when I was 16, like, my face basically, it was like it had a hard crust on all of it. It was a fucking nightmare. We eventually, like, my mom took me in and I got retin-A shots or whatever, which they're worried, like, oh, you know, you need to get your blood tested to make sure it's not going to kill you or whatever. But it was weird, like, they did it once and it was like, all gone. I was like, shit, we should have done this like a year and a half ago. But yeah.
Yeah, so is that. You also make music.
Yeah.
So what's the, you were telling me a little about this yesterday, tell me about the, like, we can't the Sunday morning making a song a week thing.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I had been in bands before that. It was the same guy that I started doing public access with. He was like, we need to start a rap group, because there was another rap group locally that was good, really good, but they weren't maximizing their merchandise opportunities. And so he was like, we should start a band and sell t-shirts. I'm like, what are you talking about? So we started a rap group, and whatever, that was what it was, and we ended up parting ways. And yeah, I got to a point where I was living with a guy who was a bass player, and he was in a friend of mine's band, and we would just wake up every Sunday, just hungover, and just like, let's write a song, start to finish, 90 minutes, go. And so we would, you know, like, I was learning how to use all the tools, and he would record a little bass in there, and then we would just write dumb lyrics and just kind of make it happen. We did that for, you know, every Sunday for a lot of weeks.
Is that the band that opened for Run DMC, or is that the
band? No, the first band, Headboard, after I left, I came back as a one-night-only thing, because I can rap better than... Anyway, yes. We opened for MDMC. I came out and did a couple of songs when they played in Petaluma. And my friend, who was my roommate for a very long time, and was the Ricker on one of...
That guy was fucking cool.
...the podcasts.
Nintendo, what was it?
Nintendo Download.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, Ricker was guys.
So he was my roommate up until about a month ago, when I finally said, dude, you can't... I got a girl living here. You can't come back.
Sounds like you did a lot of that stuff. Like, is that, does Giant Bomb give you that same outlet, the same kind of, like, the same boost, or do you miss aspects of that?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it does. Like, there are certainly aspects of it that I miss, and, you know, I wish I had more time to do some music here and there. But yeah, it was always, like, I was recording music a lot as almost a rebellion when stuff at GameSpot got busy. So it would always be, like, November, and they'd be like, let's write three songs. I don't know. I gotta feel down. You know, it was just like a some kind of release from kind of the grind of that part of that job. So now, like, you know, being relatively creatively fulfilled, I do less of that. But I want to do more. I want to rap more.
I want you to rap more.
Okay.
Right, somebody give him a beat.
Right now. Back together.
Not right
now. Yeah, that's not going to happen. So we've got two.
This is why the rapping's not going to happen.
Give me 30 seconds on K-Flay.
30 seconds on K-Flay. K-Flay is, she is a rapper, and actually she's doing more than just rapping now. Look at her music, you know.
She does production
too. Yeah, she does production too, she's singing a lot. And K-Flay, yeah, she's, her music is coming out of San Francisco. It seems like she's going to get real big.
And we both want to marry her.
We had a late night last night where we were listening to a lot of rap music. Hot jams on Dave's laptop. And I'm like, oh, you heard of K-Flay? And he was like, oh. So he's all about it right now.
Like, I'm deep in the blast radius of K-Flay. And I got family and stuff, but like... She's pretty banging, I don't know. Give me your top five favorite Chicago-based game developers. Of all time.
In order? Of all time?
Yeah.
And of all time, I think Midway's got to be number one.
Okay.
All time.
I'll allow it.
Are there any others? EA Chicago did that Def Jam Icon game.
Young Horses.
Yeah, Young Horses did Octodad. That's a good one. Is it Stern based there? I think the new Tony Hawk game's coming out of there. Yeah, so I'd probably say Midway.
Next question. Jeff, what's sexy to you?
I'm sorry, what?
What's sexy to you?
What's sexy to me?
You know, sometimes you just see something and you're like, that's sexy. What's sexy? Like, for me, it's like this, like a lady, like, see the neck right here? Sexy.
Sure.
Yeah. Sexy to you.
No, I get that, like, back of the neck type stuff. Yeah, for sure.
Come on, what's sexy? You gotta
everything.
Oh!
You know?
It's not true.
Everything.
Most everything is not sexy.
Oh, that's, you're just looking at it wrong. I'm sorry, I mean everything on a woman. Come on.
Do I have anything else that's worth talking about? I'm gonna get one more question. I'm gonna get people lined up for the Q&A part. Form two lines here, one there. If you have a question, I'm gonna ask Jeff directly.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, to close this up, what was your favorite piece of content you've ever made at Giant Bomb?
Oh, jeez.
Like, what's the video you like? I'm gonna find a way to watch it right now. So funny.
It might be the TV shows, the Game of the Year stuff when we did the fake TV shows.
What's your favorite one of those?
My favorite one of those is the 60 Minutes one.
That's really good.
Because everyone is so good in it. Like, Brad fucking nails that shit so hard. Like, at the beginning, just the cadence of 60 Minutes. Like, that was one thing, like, you know, Brad's confidence can be all over the place when we're recording stuff.
Yeah.
That was one thing. He's like, I got this. No, I'll come tomorrow. I'll wear the suit. It'll be fine. Yeah. And we're like, do you want to run through this? Like, no, I'll take this. And just came in and just like, boom. I was like, oh, shit. Like, he watches him some 60 Minutes and he can nail it. So
I remember watching it the first time. Like, it was like, you know, a couple days before Christmas or whatever. I'm watching it. And you drop that on the Walter Cronkite one. I had to fucking pause it.
It felt so good.
It's so good.
It felt so good.
Walter Cronkite.
The Walter Cronkite.
Oh. God damn it, that's funny. All right.
I think that whole thing was ad-libbed.
Oh, fuck you.
No, you know, there was a loose paragraph written that I kind of went from, I think.
But. Okay. Cool. We'll start here.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi.
How did you get started in game journalism? And also, can you give me any tips on how to get started or pushing me in that
I think, you know, the way that I got in doesn't really exist anymore. But I would say that, like, you know, the thing today is to build a body of work so that you have something to show people. And it's a hard thing, like, in the traditional sense of, like, the big sites and that sort of mentality, where so many people have been laid off across the board from these different sites that, you know, if you're looking for an experienced person, they're already out there. There's tons of them. So it's hard for new people to get in as a result, because people don't like to train people if they can help it. You know, it's a lot easier to get someone in there and say, like, okay, I know I can sit this person down and they will go. But if you build a body of work that can show that, like, you can go and that you can get things done, and you have a voice, that you have you know, the basic skills together, that really does go a long way. So I would say that that's the way. But, like, you know, as far as me, like, you know, it is all tied to public access and band stuff. The guy that I did public access with and then started a band with, he would, in high school, decided he wanted to write about video games for the local newspaper. So he was like a 14-year-old, covering video games for the Petaluma newspaper. And so he was going to CES, which was before E3, all the video games were at CES. And I had become friends with him through us doing public access, and he was just like, do you want to come to this thing? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to come to this thing. And so going to CES and starting to kind of interact with the people that worked at video game companies, you know, you start to meet people, things start to happen, you get a job here, you get a job there. And, like, that sort of stuff, just, you know, E3 is not the place for that anymore. It's all ridiculous now. So yeah, you kind of get into it that way. So I was still in high school when I was, you know, going out there. Like, I, you know, I kind of dropped out of, like, the one college class I was taking so that I could go to Reno and see Mortal Kombat 3 before it was out. which was way more important than whatever that college class was.
That is actually horrifying, terrifying advice to be dispensing.
Yeah, don't actually do that. You should finish school. I mean, honestly, like, I got into it out of high school, and you know, that was a weird thing, but straight up, like, you know, along with having a body of work, being able to say, you know, hey, I finished school, I didn't drop out, like, I actually finished a thing, I saw it through. Like, you need to be able to say, I saw it through on enough different things for people, I think. That's, I guess, my advice. Does that seem sound?
Yeah, I think that's good advice. That checks out.
All right.
I'm all right.
Thanks.
So I'm going to also, as a professional interviewer, I'm going to rate your questions. That gets 12.
Have you tried Whataburger yet?
Yeah.
It's, I like it a lot. Yeah.
So I got a burger, and then I was like, well, I want to try this chicken stuff. So I got the chicken bites that came with cream gravy. Yeah! And it's real good. I could feel myself dying as I was eating it. But that, it was worth it. It felt worth it.
Right, three words.
Right, that buffalo. Buffalo.
All right, I asked this question in a... Whoa, yeah, real hot.
All right, hot mic.
Yes. I'll stand here. I asked this question on another panel, so people might think I'm kind of rude for asking it again, but I want your advice. You know, I stopped going to school about 4 years ago because, let's face it, I didn't give a shit. And now, working, you know, an adult person's job, it's worse. It's bad. So, at this point, I'm looking at going back to school because I'm lucky enough to have that resource. And I want to go through multi-platform journalism. And I was wondering, is that a sound ideal with such an oversaturated market with the internet where everyone thinks they're a critic?
I think it can be hard. I think, you know, if you're going to take journalism, like, use it, you know, like, get into the news and the investigative end of it if that's what you care about. But yeah, when it comes to, like, reviewing things and, like, the, you know, when I'm looking to hire someone, like, the journalistic, I mean, I'm looking for a news person right now, so, like, there's, you know, in that case, I'm like, yes, I want you to have some chops on the journalism side of things. But it's one part of it. You know, I need someone who can be affable on a podcast, someone who can, you know, read from a teleprompter when necessary, someone who can be comfortable on camera to a certain extent, and you know, like, and also fit in, like, chemistry-wise with the rest of the crew, because there's rarely instances where it's only one person in a piece of content doing something. So, you know, hiring for New York, like, I need to make sure that this person fits in well with Vinny and Alex's dynamic and all that sort of stuff. And so it's become very strange. It used to be, you know, there was no video, there was no audio, like, we were just writing. So it was just like, it was very cut and dry, like, you can write your opinions are sound, like you're not an idiot, okay, this job is for you. And then at some point, like, I started joking, like, we should probably start doing screen tests when we're hiring people. And we go, but no, seriously, we should probably start doing screen tests for people. And it's a really crazy concept, like, because it changes it from, well, I need you to have this set of skills to, you need to not only have this set of skills, but also, like, this other super crazy, like, it's almost like casting at some point, and that's insane. And that makes it really difficult to find the right person for a job.
Any classes specifically to look at and pursue that would help in that regard?
I think, you know, like, for me, you know, there was a certain amount of, like, getting out of your shell type stuff that came with drama, theater. I didn't do a lot of it. I did just enough to where I didn't have to get sucked into that scene. It's a nightmare. But yeah, like, you know, at one point I had to, like, dance like Grease, and I'm like, I don't want to do this. And yeah, but I think that, like, that there are certain aspects of that, the kind of performative elements of that, that can really aid someone.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Sandwich albatross.
So I did have a question, but I just want to preface one thing, because I know I'll probably never get a chance to do it. I grew up in high school and middle school, abused as a kid. My father was bipolar. And it was you guys that allowed me to escape. Watching you guys from GameSpot to Giant Bomb, following you guys. Used to burn CDs of the Hotspot at my friend's house, so I could actually go and just escape for a little while. So I got to do a bunch of great things. Found my own business successfully, in media, actually, because of you guys. I don't know if I would ever have gotten the chance to do that, so I just wanted to thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. And also, on the Swords of Dan rating scale, how many Swords of Dan's would you give Destiny?
Jeez. If Destiny had a potion thing where you combine a certain potion as a way to kill yourself, then it would basically be Swords of Dan. But it's maybe about halfway there. So, 5. Out of something.
4 of the rating 2s out of 5.
Whoa.
Hi, I'm the guy who gave the alpaca on Friday, so I hope he's doing well.
Yes, okay. He is, yes.
So my question is, will you be going to Evo this year?
Yes, he's going to Evo. This piece of shit. Evo is like the best thing in the world, even if you're not in fighting games. It's just so good. The community's awesome. It's people hanging out, playing games, doing shit. It's Vegas, and you're drinking, and it's the best. And he's like, oh, it's pretty close to Gamescom 3. And it'll be like...
For whatever reason, it's always the same weekend as California Extreme.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a classic arcade show. I want to go to Evo. It's always... But, you know, honestly, the thing is, like, the time you have to book your Evo stuff is always right around E3, and I'm always so burned out from E3. I'm just like, I just want to hide in my house. So it ends up, like, killing my Evo dreams every year. But, yeah, every year I get a little bit closer saying, fuck it, let's go to Evo. So maybe this will be the year. I don't know.
If you make it, hope you all see you there.
Cool.
Yet you were an A until that last comment. my very favorite Utah.
Hi, Dave. Jeff, I feel like I hear a lot of people are like, I would do games journalism if only, like, I didn't feel like it would ruin my gaming habits, or, like, I would hate video games after it.
Sure, yeah.
do you ever have those moments where you're just like, I don't want to play video games because it feels too much like work, and then how do you get over it? Also, this conference center loves Pepsi. Have you rubbed it in John Drake's face yet? That there's, like, no Coke anywhere to get in this conference?
He emits Coke out of his pores. dripping all over the place. So.
Sure, what that emotion's about.
Yeah, it's like a sparkle.
It's kind of out of
So, I was always the sort of person that played their games very quickly and finished them and moved on, which ended up being really conducive to reviewing games, because that's precisely the nature of that job. Is, you know, you have to get to a certain point where you're like, I'm pretty decent at this, I'm going to play through it in 2 sittings, and okay, that's cool, let's move on. So that made me like a pretty fast reviewer. It was actually how I got hired at GameSpot in the first place, is they freelanced a couple of assignments to me, And like I just turned them around insanely fast, and they were like, "That's actually exactly what we need right now, is insanely fast." So get in here, and that worked out really well. But yeah, you know, it's a really weird thing to like complain about, because Jesus Christ, it's video games. I'm not moving boxes for a living. But yeah, when you take your primary hobby, the thing that you do for fun all the time, and then suddenly it's the thing you do for work, like it can get dark in times where it's like, okay, well, you come to those realizations like, I spent the whole weekend playing video games, and now I have to go back and play more video games. It's like, so I would always delineate it like, I'm playing the video games that I want to play versus the video games that I have to play for review or whatever, and that ended up working out most of the time. But now we're at a point where, like, I'm not trying to review every single game ever made, so now I more or less just kind of try to stick to the things that I want to play, whether it's just I'm interested in it, even if it's bad, like, I just want to see this thing through and see just how bad is this thing, or because it's something I, you know, actually enjoy, and that's been pretty good. That's been really freeing, but yeah, it does get me to a point where, like, I don't necessarily go home on the weekend and spend 20 hours of the weekend playing games anymore. I'll have those weekends if there's something hot, if there's something like I am totally obsessed with.
Like Destiny?
Yeah, like Destiny. yes, I was obsessed with Destiny for a while. I think that's like, there's that feeling just like, there's gotta be more here, right? Like, I even got the PS4 version with the extra things, so like, that's the... But still, not enough. Yes. Good or bad, yeah. I definitely will get obsessed with things over time. For sure.
Thank you.
That was the Falcon Theater of questions.
Hello, Mr. Gerstmann.
Hi.
Mr. Lane. I'm here representing the National Windjamming Association, the NWA.
I'm a big NWA fan. I thought Dope Man was good.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Boy, you should have known by now. Yeah. Easy does it.
Is he always hard? Is it always hard?
Mr. Lane, it's my turn.
Sorry.
Scream! Scream!
But the league is struggling. And I think we've identified that the reason is that all of the successful sports have annual video game releases. Football has the Madden series, Extreme Scorpion Bicycling has the Bike series. And so given your connections to the industry, to real game developers, people like Dave Lane, what's it going to take for you as probably the world's biggest Windjammers fan to get annual releases?
Yeah, it's my understanding is that it's a very long road to Windjammers and damn near impossible. It was actually damn near impossible to make it happen. I think it would be great if someone finally stepped up and made a new Windjammers. And you know, like there's such a renaissance right now with just the independent esports, kind of minimalist esports, whatever you want to call that genre. There's such a renaissance now that a publisher could almost specialize in a style of game. They could almost be like the Sports Friends of publishers or something like that. And if one of those publishers were to step up and actually do the legwork and actually nail this down, you know, maybe we could see something like that someday, but I seriously doubt it. It sounds like one of those things that lives in a business hole that is too deep to climb out of. And that's the sad truth. So someone needs to take property that they already own, like if they made like a two-button fighting game or something like that, if they're the discs in or something like that, then maybe that would be the way to go. I don't know, I'm just a fledged worker.
Thank you.
Okay, someone took my serious question earlier, so I left kind of my
rough start.
My jerk.
All together.
Last night, I noticed on Twitter that Dan Reichert was going on about Freebird being the best song ever. I wanted to see what your thoughts on Freebird were.
Yes. I don't know.
So for the record, I think that was a 5-1. song. T-Swizzle.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just out of control.
Just out of control.
I can't talk about that right now.
Okay.
So good.
I have a question. With the recent events that have happened, a trend is occurring industry-wide. We're seeing, the kind of funny guys split from IGN. We're seeing Jeff Keighley leaving to his own thing. Do you see a future, and what would that look like, and what would your thoughts be on it, you separating from CBS and doing your own?
Yeah, I mean, it worked out pretty well last time, so.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something that could happen down the line, but right now it doesn't need to. We have.
Do you currently feel you have enough flexibility?
Oh yeah, definitely. There are things that we're able to do as a part of this larger company that would be very difficult for us to do on our own, and just the logistical support that they give us and the engineering support. If we were to strike out on our own next time, I would either have to rope in a fresh set of designers and developers and give it a go with a very big crew, or not have a website. And go to YouTube, which YouTube I think is going to become increasingly hostile ground for content over the years ahead, as more of these struggles over who owns the IP, if you're streaming our video game, do we get a cut, that sort of stuff, the copyright strikes, that stuff can get tricky fast. So it's hard out there if you're independent, and. Yeah, there are things that, this company has not imposed upon me once, because there are enough of them there that remember how it went last time, I think. But also, they have no reason to, we're all going in the same direction of we're building this cool thing, and it's doing well, so, the numbers end of it is, cool, and then we're like, well, let's do dumber shit. And so until it all breaks, then, someone will, could eventually step in and go, all right, let's put the brakes on this, you nutcase. And then I'd be like, well, see how it goes from there. But right now, there's zero need for us to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think we're close to time.
Yeah, right? See, this will be the last question.
New Tony Hawk. Pro skater at that. So it kind of got off the rails. Passed underground.
I like what you did there.
Got a bit, hey, it's a wacky skater story. Then it just got completely bonkers with two. I think it kind of went better with that. Should the next Tony Hawk, are we talking 1 to 3, where it's 2 minutes, get your all these goals you got to accomplish, retry and do that. It should be more kind of open world, like 4 did, where it's, hey, go talk to that guy and go find the skate letters.
I think it'd be really hard to get a Tony Hawk game across that had small 2-minute runs and small levels these days. I think that the expectation of players is a wider, richer world.
Right.
So I think probably the right move for that game would be to be more of an open world.
Uh-huh.
But
it's gonna be pure.
I think that there are things you can set up where okay, this area of the map, when you activate this goal, we're going to limit you to this zone to complete these tasks. The 4 sort of did some of that stuff.
Tournaments or whatever, where it's silver, bronze, gold,
right.
Go for 3 minutes.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff.
But kind of just have that be in-world transitions instead of going out to a menu and that sort of thing.
Could this even, so it's a nice sort of fan service thing, but could this actually come back, or because it's stagnated the series. One of my favorites, can they do anything else with it?
I tried, and
they did something terrible with it twice.
I don't know. I feel like that's one of those things where, if I had the answer to that question, I would be going somewhere and solving that problem for money. But I don't know what you do with Tony Hawk in 2015. I don't think it's...
Make it good. Classic isn't good. The new one?
Yeah, that's the thing. That HD thing, the timing of it all felt bad, and it was a bad product. If those same people are doing this, then I'm already alright, well, let's see how it goes. I think making a skateboarding game right now is really strange, but also really exciting. So I hope that...
There's no skate games coming out,
that studio doesn't even exist. Black Box has been scattered into 9 different things, and the people are all over the place, and it's one of those things where it's what is EA doing? It's is every studio just quietly working on a Star Wars game somewhere? Reskinning whatever it is they do normally. It's we're doing Plants vs. Zombies. The Force Warfare.
Reporting Superman 64.
Yes. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we have to put a lid on the show. I did have one note, though, that someone had some business for Run GFP.
Excuse me. Sorry, Jeff. I'm sorry. I just needed to say something. I know the panel's over and everything, but I just felt
I just had to say something to your client, Dr. Traxxon.
Okay. He was going to come, and then he heard that there was no action for him, and he figured he would stay out of the country.
Okay, that's infuriating, because I got some words for that motherfucker, right? Like, we got a beef, me and him. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if anyone here remembers, but about 4 months ago, PAX Prime, during the industry rumble, there was some serious collusion. Like, it was you and the Underdraker and your awful client. You were about to get some glass, but without realizing it, I got glass right in the head. Went down.
Go figure, huh?
What the fuck? What the fuck?
I wonder why. Here's your charming disposition.
No, it's because I'm too good. That's the thing. So, no, but that shit cost me my shot at the industry title. So, I feel like there's some unfinished business between Traxxon and me, and I need you to pass this along to him, okay?
I'll pass it along.
One-on-one, me and him, in Boston, at Paxomania, Sunday, March 8th, Saturday Night Slam Masters. Live it on. Can you pass that along? Can you pass that along to him for me?
You had better bring an army. I can say, as one of the representatives for Team GFB, watch your motherfucking back.
Get fucked, boy!
And my client will see you in Boston.
All right, I'm gonna see that coked out crackhead when the time comes.
Not if he sees you first.
Shit! I'll take it.
Cool. Thanks everyone for coming out. Just to hang out for a bit, answer more questions. That was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks everybody.
Hey. Listen to your show since fucking free.
Oh,
thanks. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Oh, you have the good work.
Hey, I get to ask you a question. Well, big fan, I was wondering real quick. Do you think, you know, any positive things you think might have changed that Ryan Davis might have been here? Cool things that might have happened.
I mean, it's hard to say, you know? It's hard to say with anything.
Yeah.
You know, one way or the other, right? But yeah, thanks.
So, cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Hey, a picture?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Come back to Texas.
Yeah. Hi. Sorry, thank you for being awesome.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Just wanted to shake your hand. Thank you for being awesome.
Thanks.
Can you sign my badge?
Hey, yeah, sure.
Which one do you want, Friday or Saturday?
Oh, whichever one's
it's easier?
One, yeah.
We'll make it easier.
It's the whole scenario.
Thanks. You have your microphone. All right, thanks.
Hey.
Hey, hi.
I'm actually going to be in Tuesday for an interview with CBSI Games.
Oh, cool.
Can't tell you too much, but what is your Tuesday looking like?
I'm not there.
You're not?
I'm not back from this until Wednesday.
Okay, I'm actually there all week. Would you happen to have, like, a lunch available sometime?
Maybe.
Maybe?
Because since I'm missing Monday and Tuesday, like, the rest of the week's
that
super
week's
busy.
Gonna
but
go really
but
quick.
Yeah. I mean, if you're around, like...
I'm there until next Wednesday, so...
Okay, yeah.
Maybe. I'll try to get something a little bit more serious to you. I'm meeting with Danny that Tuesday, so...
Okay, cool.
If all things right. actually start going serious, I'd like to talk
awesome.
To you.
Yeah. Awesome.
Jeff, got hey. Something in
oh. Hey, very nice. Thanks.
Would you mind signing my badge?
Yeah, no.
No, he hates the guy.
No! Not anymore. Not after what you just pulled.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hey,
hi.
I've been trying to get these demos to Dan, but he went off the like radar. Do you
okay.
know if he's around anywhere?
Yeah, he's in town. I mean, yeah,
okay,
I think he's still
you
in town.
Take
yeah,
him?
Sure.
Okay, this is
yeah.
a shit ton of demos.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Yeah.
If you want on then, we'll do a official attractions rep.
Hey.
There we go.
We should probably take it outside because there's another panel that has to come in. Yeah, it's I'll be out there. I'll hang out outside the front.
Three's the best Tony Hawk, right?
Yeah, totally, yeah. absolutely.
Can you sign this?
Yeah, sure. Do you have a pen?
Thank you.
Underground is a close second. Actually, Underground 2, if you look past the story mode...
Yeah, like, it's not bad. Yeah. Like, I just played Thug 2 for a while, not that long ago. Good, it's like, it's, there's things about it, but... Yeah, no, sure.
Also, I want to say real quick, yeah. I've been to PAX the past few PAX Primes, and I missed the Giant Bomb panel every time we just...
Oh, wow, yeah.
And I live, like, 4 hours from here, so...
Cool. Yeah. Awesome, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well,
thank you.
Hey, why don't you get a picture, bud? You want to start?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
I just want to shake your hand, tell you thanks for everything.
Oh, thank you. Stuff. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
First of all, if you want to go to San Antonio, first tip, leave San Antonio, not Houston, then you can find a show.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it was
thanks
a great
a
panel.
Cool, thank you.
I'm going to get a picture with you. You're
yeah,
my
sure.
favorite one on Giant Bomb.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. How you doing?
What's going on, man? Ready? Three, two, wait. Let me get this thing one more just in case.
It's cool. A great meeting you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks we a lot
have
for
like
coming.
We have like a brutal 3-hour commute. You make our life.
Oh, and we
wow.
listen to you.
Like each way, 3 hours?
Round trip.
Okay, yeah, that, I guess that's not that's
she's
far
not really
from mine,
even a gamer, but she's
but
fucking addicted.
Guys.
Oh, cool, thank you.
That says a lot, right?
Yeah,
thanks.
Thanks,
man.
Awesome.
I love you.
Thanks for coming. Hey, hi.
Signing something Dan also signed?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
do you have a pin?
I don't have a pin. Sorry. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what Gurren Lagann is either.
It's an anime.
So, yeah, like I know that much, but...
I barely know what it is, but my friend does, so...
Okay.
Thanks a lot. That was a good panel.
Thanks. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I just happened to have
thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
He will appreciate that. Enjoy San Antonio.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, I didn't really have a question. Friend of mine, just tell me though, you're still streaming this.
Yeah.
Could you sign my bag?
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah, I just haven't turned it off yet. Fair enough. Yeah, get to worry about all your hot lunch plans. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Keep it up.
I'm making my way, trying to. Yeah.
I don't want to be a pain.
No, no, totally. Yeah.
Hey, one more thing.
Yeah.
I know you said you got the place for the Rumble. Can you at least give me the bar name? I have to move my car from my hotel like right now.
I don't know what it
he
is.
He doesn't. All right,
no,
I'll try to find.
Dan knows,
yeah.
But yeah.
That mystery, I'll never find him.
Yeah.
You gonna hang out?
Yeah, yeah.
Since you got a second, it's actually for the GameSpot social media position.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit underprepared, they say,
because
I've only done smaller events and smaller paid gigs.
Well, I mean,
and
if,
I
they're, if,
video
if
games.
They're bringing you in, then, you know, that's a good sign.
It took
so.
Me a lot of persistence and a lot of saying, no, fuck you, I can do this.
Fuck yeah. Y'all, Mixler.
Yeah, what up?
Yeah.
What up, Jeffler? Half y'all motherfuckers.
Just run away every
yeah,
time.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, at least now they know what position, because if they heard that, they know what's up. So don't go spreading that, you asshole.
Ah, there are multiple openings.
Oh, it's still on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, sure, absolutely.
My peer is going to take this picture.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Can I get one as well?
Yeah, sure.
All right, awesome. Let me load this camera up. I met Dan last night at the Norm McDonald show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you want me to get you, man? Don't,
oh, yeah.
Do you want a selfie or do you want me to
no,
get
no,
you?
No, no, you can
get Yeah. Selfie cameras are good these days. I hit the menu button,
yeah.
So how do I push?
Yeah.
I can't stand something.
All right. I saw the middle button there.
Middle button, yeah. Yeah. Let me frame you good. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Firing.
Did it work?
I got 3. So
okay,
sure
sweet.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Cool.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks. I got you, man. Good.
Yeah, sure.
I love doing this with man, because like trying to selfie with him and shit. Hey, do you want to do a selfie or do you want me to get you after that?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's alright.
Great. That's a great picture. Cool. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, sure. Alright. 1, 2, 3. Bang. That one was out of focus. Hold on. Alright, that third one should be there.
Thanks.
what you were saying about being prepared for everything and having a little bit of things, that's kind of what I've done. So in the future, if smaller positions for Giant Bomb were available, that's kind of what I want to talk to you about. Because I know you were looking for your senior news person.
Right, yeah.
But like, I know you were talking about freelancing, you were talking about a lower news team.
Yeah, maybe.
I could jump to that easily. I'll hear from you later.
Thanks.
Hi. I just had a question.
Yeah.
I know at one point you and Cartoons Community, or I guess Giant Bomb and Cartoons Community were talking about doing something together before Ryan.
Yeah.
And I have to do that. I'm going to cry. So is there anything going on with that still?
Max and I need to sit down and talk about it.
Yeah.
We just haven't yet. I think every time it comes up, we're like, we still need to do this. But everyone's just been so busy. Right. We just need to kind of figure out what
we're doing. Okay, I was just curious if you guys were with that.
Yeah.
Safe travels home.
Thanks.
Do you think the market has to be like oversaturated with certain genre before the genre goes away? Because like when Rock Band came along, there were a lot of Guitar Hero games, and then it kind of died off. Then Skate came along.
I think everything works in cycles like that. You know, some stuff will come back. I mean, they're running those Rock Band surveys right now. Like clearly, they're doing something. So you know, like everything kind of up and down with that stuff. But yeah, I think that you know, skateboarding would come back. I just don't know if skateboarding is like big enough in a mainstream way.
Yeah, it's like late 90s, early 2000s.
I mean, and they were, you know, eventually Tony Hawk was just riding the success of Jackass in a weird way. Like those games were just, it was all Bam Margera. So like I don't know what the hook is now to get more people to care about it. Or maybe they're making a way smaller game. You know, maybe they don't need to make it some huge disc game. Maybe it's just downloadable. It's hard to know until we see what they're working on. But yeah, everything goes away, everything comes back, unless you're a competitive first-person shooter, because those will probably never go away at this point. Thank you. Hi.
I just wanted to ask you.
Thanks. Thanks for coming, man. Yeah.
It was, like the kind of situation where you, like, put your knives in your bed. But yeah, I was like, you guys, happy year last year, all things considered. But
hats down.
I just wanted to take the time to like just remind me about the impact that you have. Even though we're just talking about products, you know, just to like remember that it does have an impact. So,
awesome. Thanks a lot. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. By the way, my name is Justin. I met at like PAX Prime way back. But
awesome.
I never had the guts to say that.
Thanks.
I had two quick questions. I remember on GameSpot, like before you guys, you know, start on the spot, your streams would always have like music playing in the background, and I realized, oh wait, that's actually Jeff's music in the background. Will that ever come back, ever? Or last album was like 5 years ago.
I mean, it's you know, like it's been like I don't live with Chris anymore, so like the opportunity to record stuff just isn't there the way
it used
to be.
I was like 14 and I downloaded it with 17 Ground Lines, right? I almost every track on it I liked. Like I was surprised. At first, like I remember like, you know, Two Hots always the one. I mean, that was actually the next album, but like Two Hots is when everyone knows because that was the hot spot theme.
Right.
But like, you know, I really liked Space Striker, Go Vietnam. I actually really liked Future Robinson a lot. I was just kind of looking forward to seeing like more of that. Like I would totally love it.
I'd really like to do it. It's hard to find the time these days. Chris lives an hour and a half away, so he'll come up and crash on my couch sometimes. But
And then I guess this is just a given. Like video reviews for Giant Bomb is done. Like that's
totally
that,
It's just remember, it's like, not a
You guys did MGS4 and Battlefield. Wasn't that kind of it?
I think the last one was Zelda. The amount of time that has to go into editing those and making them tight, we could do 4 or 5 quick looks.
Quick
so at some point, it's just a weird numbers game of just like, well, you know, it's not worth it for us to do this stuff.
Sure.
So, you know, we may get to a point someday, but like, I think that reviews in general, you know, we're doing way less of them. Like, we're talking about games in other ways.
I think Dan is a great addition. I actually love a lot of the reviews that you write.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, this one is really just like you, Jeff, Alex, and Brad. I mean, not Jeff, it's you, Dan, Alex, and Brad. I mean, they're still top notch. I read them.
Thanks. Great.
Yeah, keep them up. Would you mind signing my pass?
No, not at all.
I totally appreciate it. So much.
All right, thank you.
And then if I could just get one picture.
Yeah, sure.
That'd be great. And thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming.
All right, we got it. Thank you. Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, Brian.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to say hello. It was a great panel, but I've been listening to you since the Giant Bomb, or
Yeah, GameSpot.
Oh, cool.
GameSpotting. It was
thanks.
Great. I always love your personality, and just all the hours of listening to you, I feel like I have a little understanding. I definitely know what games are like, but the rest is kind of fun, too.
Cool,
especially
thanks.
30
yeah.
minutes. But anyway, if I had a question for you, I'd just ask, like, what was the TurboGrafx game like?
What was the what?
The TurboGrafx game.
Oh, I mean, I think Bomberman 93
yeah.
is probably, like, my quintessential Turbo game, but,
It'd be fun if you, isn't that the one where you can do up the crazy amount of people on screen?
No, that's Saturn Bomberman, yeah, yeah, but I won, like, a good Bomberman 93 tournament.
Cool.
Like, was pretty good at it for a while, so.
Awesome.
I thought that Battle Royale was fun. It's a terrible game, but, like, it's just kind of funny, so, but yeah.
Yeah, I just got a duo R, regional yeah. RGB, and it's awesome.
Yeah, that thing's great. Yeah, that's pretty much what I bought,
can
too.
Can you do a quick picture?
Yeah, sure.
So, can you take this? Just press the button.
I won't press anything else on accident.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, check to make sure it came out good before you leave.
Okay, well. Yeah, we're both on it. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks.
Well, it could have been blurry.
They do
it.
I made a giant bomber account when Cypherst opened.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
I guess Slide didn't work with Opera back then because I just kept trying and I think I tripped the trigger for too many accounts.
Oh, yeah.
So technically,
okay.
I've been banned since the beginning of Giant Bomb.
Nice. Great work.
Is there anyone I can actually contact?
If you write to support at giantbomb.com and explain that and say that you talked to me, maybe Rory answers all that stuff.
Okay.
So hopefully we can figure that out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks. Hey,
I met you back at the COD review event.
Okay.
I didn't have like a fancy business card or anything back then, so.
Awesome.
But yeah.
Cool.
I love your work. I love all that stuff. So.
Thanks.
My question I was going to ask is, do you think the next COD's going to have boost and jetpacks?
I bet
that?
It doesn't. It should, but I bet that whatever Treyarch's doing is probably its own thing because they probably don't want to look like they're following on from someone else's work. But I don't know what the dynamic is between those studios, because now Advanced Warfare is going to have zombies, and that was always a Treyarch thing, so I don't know what they'll do from here.
Jetpack World War II COD.
Right, yeah, just go like weird retro alternate history or something. Yeah, I don't know. But hopefully it'll be something.
Thanks for the panel.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Right. Thanks for coming. Yeah. How you doing?
One question and then, like, I guess a comment, but you... I think the first person who introduced me to you, like, I think while you were still part of GameSpot, was, I think, a guy who knows, like, do you remember Nicholas Colon?
Yeah, I know Nick, yeah.
Yeah, he was my roommate in college.
Okay,
so.
Yeah. He's, like, he's down in L.A. doing all kinds of crazy stuff,
he's
right?
He's working for Sony's mobile game
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's weird. He went to San Jose State together, and he got, like, an RTVF degree, and he wanted to do that for a while, but then he just said, fuck it, I'm going to do game stuff with Sony instead.
Weird.
So he made some app. Tried to get him to come to my wedding, but he was too busy.
Yeah, I haven't seen Nick in a long time. But cool.
But, and then, thanks for hanging out after these, and then, like, it's strange to say, but, like, I never cared or even followed about any video games review site.
Mm.
And it wasn't even right when you started, because, like, I had to hear about it from other people first.
Sure, yeah.
Because it felt like a machine, right? And, and then, like, the whole system of, like identifying with a personality and knowing that because Jeff likes this game for this reason, it's unquestionable that I'll also like it for that reason.
Sure.
Because I can identify it.
Mm.
It's just...
Yeah, it seemed, it's one of those things that, like, it seemed like it would work eventually if we stuck with it and got enough of our opinions out there, eventually it would make sense for everybody.
Exactly.
Like, okay, well, he hates these games that I love, so when he says he hates it, I'll probably like it. So that's fine, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Just having someone that you know that, like, their opinion is genuine and that you can relate to it, regardless of whether you have the same opinion or not.
Sure. Yeah, so, no, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Great
awesome.
Ride.
Yeah, good to see you.
Right.
Hey,
Jacob.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
Good.
I met Dave Lang at the Game Awards.
Oh, what bummer.
He actually put me in a headlock. He
of
says,
course.
Do you want nice or do you want not nice? So I had a question for him, and I got so nervous that I just blocked him out. So I just want to say thank you.
Oh, thanks.
I've been a subscriber since day one.
Cool,
I've been listening to you for a while, so I just want to say thank you.
Yeah.
I don't watch every video you put out.
I don't either.
But I listen to the podcast. I'm a little behind, but I just want to say thank you.
Cool.
I wonder if I can get a picture of you.
Yeah, sure.
Turn up?
Yeah. I took like a bunch. I just kept
thank you very much.
Cool.
I
thanks
really
a lot.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for coming to Texas.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been cool.
Everyone, you know, here, we don't necessarily get to go to all the other ones. So,
right.
I guess probably the past couple years, I've been trying to, like, save up money. They get their go to Prime or Ace or something like that. I found out there was one here.
Yeah, it's great. Awesome. Perfect. Yeah.
It's, wow. And then you guys weren't sure if you were coming, but, you know, an abbreviated time bomb is better than no time bomb. So I do really appreciate you guys being here. Meaning y'all have actually had probably gotten more out of it. Meeting you and Drake and Wang and Dan and everybody.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks a lot. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming. Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Fun to meet you. Love the podcast, love the website. Listen for a while.
Cool.
You guys are actually the reason I came to PAX. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't.
Oh, great. Thanks.
I was I'm in a similar situation where the gentleman that spoke to you and started his own business, you know, mm-hmm. your podcast really helped me through a lot of times, and I really thank you guys for that.
Oh, great. Thank you.
The laugh and, you know, talk about the hobbies really helped me a lot. Cool. I was wondering, you know, as you built this sort of brand, you know, starting off just to do the public access stuff that you were talking about, to this point where, you know, you can get hundreds of people just to come watch and ask you a bunch of questions. How does that feel?
It's cool. It's weird. I don't know. It's the sort of thing, like, you can't take it for granted. Like, I never know coming to any of this stuff if people are going to show up, you know, because, like, for starters, like, you never know, like, is there going to be enough people at PAX Texas to care, or you know, or are we going to go back to Boston and everyone's going to say, like, I already saw those assholes, like, I'm not going to go back and see it again, you know. So it's, you know, I try not to take any of it for granted, because it's, you know, it's hard to build that stuff. It's been great, you know, to just kind of be able to get out and just meet people. So it's why I like coming to PAX, just to kind of just hang out. Like I'm not out there seeing games and shooting interviews. Like, we're just here to do the panels and just hang out and talk to people. So, it's been
cool. You
guys
built a really unique brand, and only one on the internet, really. Yeah. I was also wondering, can I take a picture?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, if you could please.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, sure.
Hang on. Oh, it would help, you know.
Can you take a picture of those guys? That's cool,
too. I just wanted to really make sure that technology... God damn it. There we go. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you coming tonight?
I think so. Yeah.
Hey. So, I guess I just said... few short questions, kind of like, so this has been a different convention experience for y'all, because you're not doing stuff for the website, really, I guess I should say. So do you think that will, like, do you think y'all will come back next year and do that as well, just like, we're gonna come to the convention and have this be a refresher, like, we're gonna do it and we're gonna go film the things that show up, because next year will be more
it'll probably be a little more fleshed out. We'll see. I mean, you know, like, the thing that happened to the other PAXs is they got so big and so busy, you can't really get a camera on the show floor.
Yeah.
Like, the Indie Mega booth and stuff is just wall-to-wall people. So, like, we used to be able to just be like, we're going to walk through and talk to people. You just can't do that anymore. So, like, we've been doing less and less of the other PAXs, too. But we still, like, you know, getting out and doing the panels and doing that stuff is good. Like, we enjoy doing it, and people like it. So, like, yeah, we'll probably keep coming.
Like, the only other PAX experience I had was 11. It was where I first ran to y'all. I was like, Giant Bomb, what's that? And went to y'all's panel. That was the first time I was like...
Oh, okay. Cool.
That was weird. This was a PAX where you could do everything on the floor as an attendee if you wanted to.
Right.
Because you had 3 days.
Yeah. And the lines were not long. And
And then I guess the second thing is with Patrick leaving to a more news focused website.
Yeah.
And you looking to hire someone else for news? Are you looking to do more news, less news than with Patrick, or, like, maintain features like Patrick?
It's a multi-tiered approach is kind of how I go about it. Is, like, I want to do more kind of columns and op-ed type stuff, whether it's, like, getting people who are working in games to kind of comment on, you know, issues that are around them, or, you know, other kind of writers and stuff like that. Then there's, like, the kind of mid-tier stories that are, you know, like, worth saying something about, that are just about a piece of news. And then there's, like, that one-line
type
stuff.
Just everyone saw that on Reddit. There's nothing for us to add to this.
Totally. It's just like, here, this happened. Literally. Like, this happened. This game got announced. No details are available.
Yep.
Done.
Yeah.
And not write, like, 3 paragraphs about, like, well, the past game they worked on was it, you know? And have to fill in the blanks there.
Yeah.
So, like, the people that read our site are... like, generally pretty savvy. So, like, we don't need to hold their hand. And so I want to build something that respects their time when it comes to news. Cool, thanks. Yeah, I just want to build something that's smart for those. But exactly, yeah, you know, yeah. And, you know, at some point you're just competing with the rest of the internet with that stuff, and why bother? So I want to try to build something smart. We'll see how it works. I don't know. But that's been the thing I've been thinking about for the past few years, is like, what's the right way to actually do news? So that's more or less what we want to do.
I guess the new hire will put y'all at 9, 8?
It'll be 3 out there, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah. 9, Rory.
Eight at the end of the year. So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're doing okay. We're getting close to the number we had, because, you know, before we got bought, we were able to pull, like, Joey and just, like, the people that were doing video for the other whiskey sites, we were able to pull them in. So when we came over and didn't have them anymore, it was really hard to get anything done, because there was no backup.
So, I guess that's another thing about y'all's site, is y'all have a interesting ratio. You have three people who do video and film, and you have the rest of y'all who participate in that in the podcast. I guess it currently don't have a dedicated writer, I guess, you know, that's...
Right, yeah. So it's, the tech stuff is definitely a part of it. Like, I kind of always view it as, like, three parts, like the audio stuff, the video stuff, and the text stuff, and just making sure we're, like distributed appropriately for what people want across those things. So, totally. So, you know, it'd probably be smarter for us to do more podcasts than to, like... review every single game in the world or something, you know, just with how we're kind of distributed now. But, you know, that changes all the time.
It's all right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, I'm Adam. Nice to meet you again,
hey,
Jeff.
Yeah.
I say again because it's funny. I was introduced to y'all in 2012 on my buddy. Mm. And E3 2011, I somehow got in the Microsoft press conference for my...
Oh, okay.
I wrote for my LSU's newspaper.
Wow.
And we talked a little bit. I didn't know who you were. Mm. And then once I was like, I know that motherfucker. I've had part of him at the E3 press conference. Now I know who he is. It's John Bomb.
Yeah.
And I've been in love with y'all ever since.
So cool.
Thank
you.
I'd like to share that story again. But this is my favorite story to tell when I introduce people to John Bomb. So, yeah. Do you mind if I get a picture?
No, not at all.
I was a Fox guy Friday.
So, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Safe travels back to San Francisco.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Good to see you.
Hey. Aaron. Nice to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
So, one of my favorite things about Site Before was on TNT, how you, and you still sometimes do on Professional Fridays, do stuff to interact with the community.
Yeah.
And one of the most fun I ever had was when I actually got to play TF2. On TNT, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And obviously not doing that anymore, but do you have plans to either focus more on that stuff in Professional Fridays or have something like that?
We want to do a free live show at some point. We want to get back to doing another live show at some point this year. I'm not sure what it'll be yet. It's not that it's one show. It's more like it's six shows that rotate in and out depending on, you know, week to week. But yeah, we want to do more stuff like that. I want to do like a call-in show, like, you know, like that sort of stuff where we're just taking advantage of it being live better than we do now, you know, by just interacting with people more. So yeah,
okay. Would you mind taking a picture?
No. Right.
Yes, please. No problem. Just leave this flat down. Right. Sorry, this is a bad one. Oh, wait. It's looking at me.
Oh.
Oh,
I had it wrong. Sorry about that. No, just take a picture of yourself. Do that.
Just got all blurred, like, real quick.
Seriously, is the autofocus, like, messed up or something?
Just tap on one of our faces, and it'll do it. Get it? Okay, good.
Okay. Thanks a lot, John.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh,
thanks
for coming
down.
Yeah. Hi. Okay, mine's quick and done.
Hello.
Anyway. Hi again. Sorry. I loved. No, I'm not gonna yell at it.
Okay. All right.
Sorry. I really loved the Crunchyroll ads that you guys did on the podcast.
Nice.
Yeah, they were great and hilarious. And I was just wondering if that was successful for you guys.
It seems like it. They came back, which I usually take to mean that they were okay with it.
Cool.
It's weird because, like, a lot of other podcasts just read pre-written copy for stuff, and we just kind of don't. and I'm waiting for someone to come back and go, you didn't actually do the ad the way that you but so far people have been okay with it, and it seems like the responses have been good, so it's been, it seems like it's working.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I have to either always talk about anime or pinball, so
yeah, absolutely.
There, I'm done.
Yeah, okay.
And thanks for coming down again.
Yep.
It was awesome.
Yeah, good to see you.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
I'm just here because I get off on taking pictures of people with their favorite podcasters, so I'm good.
No, all right. Yeah, cool.
You know, man, I said hi the other day, and I don't want to fucking corner you and just ask about job advice, because it seems like that's like 80% of the questions you get in one of these live panels. But I did ask Alex yesterday, or Friday, because I was curious. I foolishly applied when you guys did the search for what ended up being Dan Reichert's job. And clearly out of my league, but I want to fix that. And, you know, I already started writing for a gaming website. I'm pumping out my articles and getting them out there. But it's like, what can actually, like, blow your minds if I get it on my resume next time you guys are doing that sort of thing?
I think it depends on what we're looking for every time, you know? Right. Like, in the case of someone like Reichert, we were specifically looking for someone that could do more quick looks.
Right.
And Game Informer was already, Game Informer was actually the one publication that reached out and said, hey, we're going to start doing quick looks, whereas everyone else just started doing them. And so, you know, when he was interested in making a move, it was like, okay, well, I already know he can do the exact type of content that we need. So it was a case where, like, the hole was very specific. So, like, a lot of people apply. They're like, you know, there'd be a lot of people that would be really great to work with. And I hope to work with all of them someday. But in that specific case, it was just like, literally, we need more quick look power tomorrow.
Gotcha.
And so, like, he filled that role and then some. So
what do you think it would be best? Just sort of cast a wide net, try to get as much done of everything as I can?
A little bit. Like, it doesn't hurt. Like, you know, if you knew how to edit a little bit of video and could cut a podcast and stuff like that, like, those
which
are things
which
that...
Which I've done. I do music podcasts.
Right. So, like, that's the sort of stuff where, like, you know, hey, I know how to make your podcast sound better or something like that. Like, it's like, I don't know anything about compression. We run the podcast through Levelator. It's the most generic thing in the world, but it seems to work okay. I wish I knew more about better compression and that sort of stuff. So, like those sorts of things, like, are real nuts and bolts type stuff that, you know, if everything else is equal, like, you knowing some of that back end stuff might make a difference. But yeah, like, you know, knowing a little bit of everything can help for a lot of positions, but there are going to be some cases, like this news job, like, I need someone who has assigned news to freelancers before and managed and all that sort of stuff. It's like, it's a hard experience to get. And it's a hard position to hire for, because there are basically like four people that have the experience, and that none of them are available.
Yeah,
so,
Patrick, hearing that he was retiring from Giant Bomb, definitely gave me a kick in the ass. It's like, man, I gotta fucking take this stuff seriously. But just, I guess, one more question for you. I did see on that job description for the news editor site about freelancers, like, their job is to be contact with freelancers. So are you guys going to be looking for freelance work in the near future?
Well,
is that something I'd want to contact whoever you hire?
Yeah, it's. I mean, ideally that person's going to know some people they want to use to get started. But yeah, the eventual idea is we want to have like a small team of stringers doing some freelance stuff for us here and there for some of that news. And we still have to kind of figure out what form that stuff's going to take and what shape it's going to take, because we've done freelance news before and it never worked out right. So I want to try to get it right this time, and that can be difficult. So it's something where we need to find the person first and then start building around that. So it's yeah. Ideally, we'll be looking for some freelancers later this year.
All right. Cool,
but yeah.
Thanks for being patient and waiting to talk to all of us. That's really nice of you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Love the podcast, by the way.
Hey.
Hey, Jeff. Nice to meet you.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Cool.
Pretty great. Is it hard to get up, realize all these crazy people are interested in
no,
what you have to
it's,
say?
It's fun. It's flattering that you know people would even show up to something like this. So yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, that's the craziest thing is we, honestly, if you guys weren't here, we were going to be disappointed.
Mm. Oh.
Because this is our first PAX.
Yeah.
And Brian, we always never can get up there.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
It's crazy, but the podcast has just roped us in. It's
awesome. Thank you. Yeah,
that's
cool.
Such good news when you can talk about doing more podcasting and how much you enjoy doing it.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, you know, like this, at some point it's a numbers game of more and more people have internet in their cars, whether it's on their via their phone or some creepy in-car Wi-Fi or whatever. So, like, just the number of people that can listen to a podcast.
Because my wife and I, we both she's the one that asked the Pepsi and Coke.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we can both listen while we're working. We both have jobs.
Yeah, totally.
So,
like, that's the other use case. It's like commuters, like, people with kind of desk job type stuff, or they're out in the field, they can kind of listen to whatever. Yeah.
Like, I go back, because probably, like, we're post-Ryan people, and so we've gone, you know, I knew of, became huge fans. It seemed to be, I don't even know how it happened, but it was towards the end of 2013.
Yeah.
And so now I go back and start listening to the old stuff, and it's
cool.
And it's great. It's,
yeah, awesome. Thank you.
But nobody else has managed to pull it off. You know, you talk about the Kind of Funny guys, and they're good. And like, we went, you know, we're Utah, so we drove down to Vegas for PlayStation.
Oh, yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
And we tell
how people, was that? If they do another one, I think we'll probably go, but I don't know.
So that one was smaller than this.
Yeah.
But everything is bunched together. I mean, I thought it. I had a hard time finding out where panels were by the time it came around.
Yeah.
But other than the order, because
right, yeah,
it's a 30-minute demo.
Yeah.
And so that's the first convention that we've ever been on. But we were so close, had friends down there, and so it was perfect.
Cool.
But yeah, they had a lot of indie stuff, and then a lot of, you know, the big stuff there.
Right. Yeah.
But it was, we thought it was great. You know, they had. So it's a lot smaller, so it's easy. Like, is everything
like
but
you
the
get
order,
around and see everything.
Everything but the order was, because you sit there for 3 hours.
Right.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of stuff that's not out yet, and they have stuff that just came out that people were able to play. So
cool.
We really enjoyed it. We'd probably go down again.
Yeah.
It seems like they're going to do it again.
It seems like it was probably successful. I don't know. I wonder if they'll keep it in Vegas or if they'll do something else. Like, I don't know what they're going to do. But.
Yeah, it seemed like it'd be good something to move around the country.
Yeah, maybe.
Kind of like what Pat's, you know, keep adding more to the fun.
Right, yeah.
They're so close to Vegas, so you just you don't know which way they go about. All right, well, thanks
cool.
for the time.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is such a big fan.
Yeah.
I have a friend that's a super huge giant bomb fan, and I can tell him. It'd take like a 5-second video saying, hey, Steven, or what's up, Steven, or something like that.
All right,
Steven freak
sure.
out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
If you point at me when you want me to start talking.
All right.
Steven, you should have come out. What are you doing? This is stupid. You should have come. You should have come.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. Thanks for the panel, man. You like Texas so far?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good so far.
Yeah, I like the suit a lot.
Yeah, cool.
All right, thanks, man.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks. Thank you very much. Now I'm done.
Yeah. Eating and drinking.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
I told Dave I wasn't surprised that he did a good job. I was surprised he chose to do a good job.
Yep.
That he didn't.
He made a strong choice.
Well, because we were talking, he was like, "Yeah, I'm honestly just going to ask Alan."
Common thing if there's a tech issue box.
And then I was like, I mean, okay,
all right, that's one way to go.
Yeah, then he asked like legit stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm going to turn this off.
Okay.
Doesn't actually mean to.
I told him he should curate the questions and be like, no, you don't get to ask that.
Right.
And just do that because no one, I've never seen that.
I thought it'd be funny if he said, no, you don't get to ask that, but I have a question, and then immediately ask the same question.
Yeah. But I was like, because that's the worst part of Q&A is Q&A.
It's, yeah.
It can be good. I've been waiting for a while to get your hot take on like what's next for Tony Hawk. Like,
yeah.
The man in general. Like,
no, what's next for Tony Hawk?
Insight,
no. Yeah. Well, what's next for Tony Hawk?
I mean, I'll save it for the next panel. You don't need to get into it now.
I mean, he's got a satellite radio station. It's very big.
Oh, good.
Faction.
Good for
him. It's very big.
I do know that he just went to my friend's restaurant in San Francisco and clogged the toilet.
Wow.
So he was pretty stoked.
Wow.
Yeah, Tony Hawk, that's a good gag for your restaurant.
Yeah. I'm literally actually going to turn this off now.
Oh,
all right. See you, everybody.
Oh, jeez.
All this hot Tony Hawk stuff's out on the internet.
When
someone's
when,
going like, and Aaron Trites. Look at that right there.
When Jeff has his iPad, I now know that Mixler is happening.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know when you were just